Whether you keep them in your home or love to see them in theirs, these are the creatures that bring us all together.
Reptiles. We're going to be delving into the experiences of reptile lovers from around the block and around the world. This is the Reptile Talk Podcast.
Boom. What is going on, everybody? This is Jeremy Turgeon from Brass Man Reptiles.
And I'm Robin. I'm creeping it real.
Hey.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
How you doing, man?
But yeah. I'm doing all right, man. It's been a hectic year, mm-hmm. to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here. I'm pushing through. Just surviving day by day. So today was a more music based day, which was cool. Get a little break from the reptile insanity, and I fly out to Denver tomorrow for a show Saturday.
Damn.
So I'm looking forward to that. So I literally like fly out, meeting with the owner of the band. We're going to have lunch, and then we go from lunch to rehearsal, rehearse, and then sleep, try to get back onto the correct time zone for the next morning. And then luckily, Saturday is pretty open during the day. And then the gigs that night, and then I come back Sunday morning. So I'm excited for that. It'll be my first time in Colorado. So I'm excited about that too. So to have a little bit of a free day, I'm going to try to find something to do, some exploring to do. I got to check the weather though.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Cause Colorado.
Damn.
But yeah, so I'm excited, man. How are you doing?
Dude, that should be pretty tight. I'm doing okay. I pulled my first clutch for the season. I got a clutch of Borneos on the ground, and then I got another girl who went through her prelay shed last week, and then another one who's just going into opaque for her prelay shed. So that all that stuff is rolling. I think Janet's probably going to go again this year, which will be tight.
Heck yeah.
I'm really, really hoping that goes well. Most of my baby scrubs are all eating now. I think I got one holdout that's not eating yet, but everybody else is eating frozen thawed. So that's tight. And I'm in a different area right now. If you're on the YouTube, I'm in a different area than I usually am. I'm actually in my reptile room right now. And I've got black box cages right here. Hey. I'm so hyped. I just got in some new 422s and man, I am so excited to get the snakes into these. Like, I don't think you understand. I'm so freaking excited.
Heck yeah. I'm excited for you, man. I can't wait. Do you have ideas? I know you already have ideas, but like, what are your thoughts on how you're going to set them up?
Oh, man. I've already got big branch perches and all these and everything. I think that when I first get them set up, I'm going to do it a little bit minimalistic, and then as I go over the next like couple months, I want to start putting a whole bunch of plants in there and setting up plants all around and throughout so that it creates coverage so I can remove hides and just use plants.
Heck yeah. That's going to be super exciting.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty cool. And especially because like All-Star, he likes to perch. So if I put big branches in there, he'll use them. Fleb likes to perch. He uses them all the time. Brad, like sometimes. So I think that in the black box cages, it's going to be Janet on top, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have Ursula, my little cat the bread evil hellion. She's going to go in the second one, and then Fleb will go in the bottom. So I'll have all the girls in the new cages, and then All-Star is going to stay in his enclosure. Brad's going to stay in that enclosure, and then I've got one open for I haven't decided what I'm going to put in there yet, whether it's going to be one of the Halmaharas or one of the Southerns, basically. I think that I'm nervous to put the Halmaharas in there because they are so comfortable in the enclosures that they're in right now. Mm-hmm. And so I guess we'll see, because the female is really good in the tub that she's in, but she also did not eat for like 6 months when I first got her here. So I'm nervous. I want to put her in a 3-foot cage. And if I do that and then she stops eating, I'm just going to put her back in the tub because I'm more concerned with her just being happy and healthy than her being on display. So,
yeah, for sure. Hopefully Wait, you mean be. You mean you care more about what the animal needs than your own desire to have something in a nice, shiny cage?
For what I think they need, yeah. But big shout to Black Box Cages. I'm literally loving these enclosures. I'm already thinking about down the line when I'm starting to do venomous stuff, like enclosures, and then so for my next order, I already know some things that I'm like want to tweak and like change, and but I'm loving these enclosures so far. And then I also got two racks. They toss in some racks for me that are like good for short tails. They're 66 quarts, so they're like bigger footprint than a CB70, and they're wider, and I'm really enjoying those so far. I think I'm going to end up putting my male Borneos in there. I was trying to debate whether I'm going to put my male Borneos in there or my carpet pythons, because I have the exact number of carpet pythons as I do those tubs. So I can just make it my carpet python rack, and then I can use all the other stuff, but it's a little bit shorter. So I think I want to keep the carpets in something a little bit bigger so I can put branches in there and stuff. And I'll just use that for my our male Borneos. But big shout, Black Box Cages. They're our sponsor. And I've seen the difference, and I am loving it so far, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. That's super exciting, man. I can't wait to see you get them all set up and get the snakes in there, man. It's going to be dope. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. So do you have RHPs and then LED light, or did you just get cage as is?
I got the cage as is. I got the radiant heat panels in the same day or something, because like Reptile Basics is in High Point, North Carolina, so they are approximately 40 minutes from us. So I placed an order one afternoon and they showed up the next day.
Oh, heck yeah, that's perfect.
it was tight. So I got the radiant heat panels in there already. I still am waiting on LED lights. Those should be here soon, I think. And then I've already got my thermostats and everything, so I think it's just the lights that I'm waiting on. And then I have to move one more cage up here. You'll notice conspicuously that there's not a third enclosure here, because I had the pallet delivered to my job because we have a loading dock there. And so I was like, it's much better to do that, and then I can drive the enclosures to my place because I live about an hour away. And I live on a dirt road. So like, they're not bringing an 18 wheeler down my
yeah,
road.
Yeah, freight would be like, hell no.
Yeah. And I really didn't want them to have to drop it at the end of the road, because,
you know, that'd be a nightmare, dude.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, I'll just drive them up. And so the other night I was like, okay, I'm going to make some trips to pack up the enclosures and bring them to my place. And I've got a RAV4, so it's got lots of space in the back. And so I got 1 4-foot in there, and I'm like, oh man, I could totally fit another one in there. And so I'm like putting the other one in there. It's not quite fitting. So I twist it a little bit and lift it up a little bit, and it's not quite fitting. And I'm like, man. And so I like move the seats around, push them all up and do all this stuff. And I get it, and the door is like this far away from closing. And I'm like, oh, come on. I can totally do it. And I don't have to make that drive, that, you know, 40-minute drive. I don't have to do it three times. I can just do it twice.
Right.
And so I'm jostling and moving and like holding it up a little bit. And I'm like, okay, I think I got it. I lean down, boom, broke my back windshield. I was like, oh man. So I just drove home in silence with just the two enclosures.
The ride of shame.
Yeah, the ride of shame. And I was like, man. And you know, you hit a bump, you hear the glass crackling in the back. I was like, oh, man. Damn. So yeah, so I still have to, I gotta get that all sorted out, and so I can get the last enclosure up here. But I got both the racks. I got the 3-foot enclosure that I picked up, and then I got two of the 4-foot. So it's just one more 422 that's down there. But everything else is here. I actually have one, the male Halmahera, in the 322 that I got from them, and he loves it. He's like perched right at the front of the glass.
Hell
like
yeah.
I usually have at least one branch that comes to the front corner, and then the other one towards the back, and he is perched right at the front, and he's just sitting there.
Hell yeah.
Curled up perfect. And so I'm like, yes.
Love it.
And big shout to Jake. I think I mentioned that in the last podcast, but Jake sent him back.
Oh, yeah.
He's big. He's a lot bigger than he was. When...
Jake took when after Dan. Mm-hmm. Like, feed it. Just feed it. It looks hungry. Feed it. It ate yesterday. It looks hungry today. Feed it.
So it's not huge, but it's a lot bigger than it was. So.
Right, right.
It's good. It's good. So hell I'm hyped yeah, about that. And then, so I think that this season isn't going to be the season to try and pair them. I think that next year is going to be when I'll officially try to pair those up. I put the bag that he came in with the female, and she was just like fussy and not really feeling it. So I was like, you know what? Nah, that's okay. I don't need to rush it. Yeah. I'll just kind of wait. And that gives me another year to put some weight on her and get her a little bit bigger. Cause she is a bit smaller than him. Although all my males are bigger. So I think that next year will be the move. And honestly, I think it'll go well. I think it'll go better if I do it next year than trying to rush it this year. So,
yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Chance to settle in, get a little more size. Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. You know what that means, guys? 2026 is nothing but scrubs all season.
I'm trying to think 2026. So Fleb will go again in 2026. And then Ursula will go in 2026. Wait, 2025. Mm-hmm. What year are we in right now? We're in 2024 right now.
Yeah.
So next year is going to be, the Halmaheras. Fleb will be able to go. And I'm hoping that Ursula will be big enough to go. So that'll be two Barnett clutches and Halmaheras would be tight. That would be a little year right there.
Hell yeah, dude. And then I'll just be slowly just waiting in the back for Highlands. And that's when I'll be like, okay, Rob.
that's going to be that 2025, 2026 stuff.
Right.
That's okay.
I'm okay. That's okay. It.
When that happens, it's going to be good.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for all of it, dude. Like, it's always fun watching like those dream projects come to fruition.
Yeah.
And you've crushed it with the scrubs, man. Like you've been able to get them dialed in and have two successful years with two different females. Now we're going on year three. Like, mm-hmm. Dude, it doesn't really get much better than that, bro. Like when you finally dial that in, you're like, yeah,
it's 10 years of keeping in the making to get to this point. So for anyone who's listening, who thought that I got some scrubs and then bred them, I don't think anyone thinks that, but if you did think that, that's not how it went. Some people are like, oh, I'm going to get a scrub and I'm going to breed it the next season. It's like, nah, bro.
Man, it's so funny. Like when I had my original company, J&D Reptiles, and I still had the aspirations of being larger scale breeder, I remember like drawing out what I wanted the reptile room to be and like stacks of cages and all this stuff. And I remember having a stack of cages that were specifically going to be for scrubs. And because I was like, man, these things, you know, because they're cool snakes. They've always, you know, like I thought they were always cool because I'm like, it's carpet python on steroids. Like, it's just so much cool stuff. And it never, you know, obviously never happened. I didn't change direction, but seeing and interacting with scrubs from that time to now, I'm so glad I didn't get those.
You're like, I would have got hurt.
Dude, what you're seeing on my face now would be like half of it would just be like mutilated. It looked like some comic book villain just like scarred up. Like, what happened to him? Oh, he thought he could breed scrub pythons. Bro. Oh, gosh. But hell yeah. Shout out to everybody that's in the chat right now. Matt from Sassabeck Reptiles is here. My partner Sam Priest is here. Skull Queen, what's up? Manny, Rosendo, Cold City Boas. Appreciate you guys all for being here. Feel free to share this video out and let's get some more viewers in here. We're just hanging this week, just kind of talking about random stuff, talking about projects, talking about some future things, and talking about me being mutilated by scrub pythons. You know, it's wonderful. All good things.
this and it, you kept Retix. I'm like, that's how you really get mangled.
Yeah. It's so true, dude. It's so true. It only takes one bad day for it to all be bad.
To get really bad.
Yeah, exactly. Sheesh. But heck yeah, man. So your Borneo clutch, what was that pairing?
So that pairing was people have been hounding me for the last couple of years because I just took some time off from breeding Borneos, but the skunk stuff, that black trait, super stripe stuff. So Spooky is my skunk het ultra female. So she is from a black trait. So the skunk trait, super stripe, bred to a VPI ultra. And she's one that I produced with Jason, I think in 2015 or 2016. And so I bred her to one of her offspring from breeding her. I'm trying to think of what that pairing was. Oh man, they're not right next to me. They're all the way over there. So one of her offspring, I'm pretty sure it was breeding her back to a VPI super stripe male. That's like that black trait stuff. Pretty sure that's what the pairing was. And so it's like double dose of skunk. The male is a nice stripe, like kind of bordering on super stripe. And he's got a lot of that like light creamy color that she has from like the head ultra influence, but lots of black markings on him too. So doubling up with the black skunk trait, like the skunk line stuff, then mixing ultra in there. I'm thinking that I might produce some more of the like crystal glow leopard looking stuff. Then maybe some crazy looking ultras, but I'm trying to get ones with more black spots on them. So I think that pairing should produce that. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to get rid of that male. I'm just kidding. But in my mind, that's what direction I'm trying to go in. I'm trying to get lighter, a little bit more reduced, and then stripes and black spots and stuff. So that's kind of what I'm expecting to come out of that clutch. And judging by the stuff that she produced when bred to the super stripe, I think that like the black trait super stripe, the VPI stuff, I think that there'll be some really cool babies in this clutch. And 16 eggs, no slugs. Right on the money. Yeah, she was loaded up. So it's going to be a nice little clutch. And that's my first clutch for the season. I haven't done any eggs before that, unfortunately. That's okay. Honestly, that's okay. Cause I like her and she makes really nice babies. So I've let a couple go here and there to people around. I think the last time I bred her, the time before that, maybe the last time that I bred her, I let some of that stuff go. And those babies, as they're growing and I see the people sharing them in the Blood Python group on Facebook, I'm like, oh man, those things, they came out so good. And, you know, I got a couple whole bags where I'm like, oh man, you look cool too. But like some of the stuff I let go, I was like, oh man, I didn't let them go.
Yep, seller's remorse, man. Been there. Absolutely.
That's okay. I'm going on record now to say I only want to keep back three babies from that clutch. So
now, for those longtime listeners of Reptile Talk, I just want you to go back around the same time frame in years past and listen for Rob to say things like that.
Listen,
only to then a couple months later.
Listen, okay. I have different motivations now. Because if I have less Borneos, then I can have more room for scrub enclosures and venomous stuff eventually. So I want to take that money and roll it into venomous enclosures so that I can gear up for when I do get venomous, so I can have all the locking enclosures and all that jazz. So
hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
So that's exciting. It is. Yeah, it's really cool. So I'm really looking forward to that clutch. That'll be the first clutch to hatch. And then I got another female who is who just went through her prelay shed last week, like the beginning, maybe last week, 10 days ago, something like that.
Yep.
And so she's going to lay, I don't know, 20 days from now, like 3 weeks from now. And she is the female that I got when you got seven peppers.
Oh, heck so, yeah.
VPI Super Stripe, black trait, a black trait VPI Super Stripe, not Morticia. I wish it was Morticia, the really, really black one. I wish it was her.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She's been acting weird. She's been like, she'll grab the rat, wrap around it, and then she won't eat it. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? It's so annoying.
Weird. Yeah.
But so the other girl, the other one I got from VPI when you got your seven pepper super stripe male, so here's the deal. Everyone who's listening right now, I did a copycat pairing. I'm trying to chase what somebody else is doing because Dan Megano bred a sideswipe super stripe to a skunk black trait super stripe and made these crazy super stripes that have got solid black stripes down the side and then like cream down the back and like little speckly things all down the middle. And I was like, oh man, I gotta make some of those. So I basically did a copycat pairing. I put a sideswipe Het Ultra Het Granite male to that black trait VPI super stripe so that I can hopefully make some of those solid black super stripe side swipe things. And literally when I saw it, when Dan sent me pictures of those babies, I was like, do I have the ingredients to do that? Like I literally went straight to my rack and I was like,
immediately pulling racks open. Right. Exactly.
I was like, dude, can I make those? I need to make those. Those are some of the coolest Borneos I've ever seen in my life. I just love that look. And so I did a copycat pairing. I think that he let a couple of those go. I think he sold a couple of them. But I was like, dude, I need some of that in my life. And so I did a copycat pairing. And so that female is going to be laying here in the next 3 weeks or so.
Hopefully. Hell yeah, dude.
She's doing all the things where it looks like she's going to lay some good eggs. So I'm hoping that she lays good eggs. And then the last pairing for Borneos that I've got is a female ocelot that I got when I was in Maine. So 2014, something like that.
Yep.
2014 female ocelot. And she was bred to a ocelot that Dan Megano produced using the ocelot that you had.
Yep.
It's from an ocelot to ocelot pairing. And that male, so that male that he produced from that is bred to my female ocelot. So ocelot to ocelot. Last time we did that, we got like three or four ocelots and then a couple weird, like normal stripes and then the cyclone thing. And so I'm hoping for another one of those or another couple of those would be really tight.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
But she's sitting weird. Like, she's not carrying weight how I'd expect her to. When Dan had her, she laid, like, really small clutches. A bunch of the eggs weren't good. And so I think that she just, like, her body carries eggs, like, a little bit different than some of the other snakes do. So she feels tight and bloated like she's going to have eggs. She's in a shed cycle right now. And so I'm going to mark that down. And then if there are good eggs, cool. If there are not good eggs, it's okay.
Yeah.
But they locked up a ton of times. And so, you know, that would be cool. Honestly. So I think the first time since I moved down here that I paired up some stuff that didn't go. I bred my granite striped Het Ultra female that I got from Jason in Maine when I was in Maine. I bred her to one of the garbles because I have one, granite marble crosses. One of them is like platinum silver. His whole body is silver.
Oh, damn.
And he's got really cool speckling and a nice like little stripe on him. And I was like, man, I would love to see what he makes with her. And so they locked up a ton of times. I thought I saw an ovulation from her. She looked all bloated and swelled up and everything. She went through a shed cycle. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to see eggs soon. And then she let out the biggest, most monstrous poop that you've seen in your fucking life, bro. I swear.
That was my ultra last year. I was like, yeah, she's going to go. And she had shed and then shit the only shit from the shit kingdom.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, now she looks normal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're not getting eggs.
That is exactly what I wrote down prelay shed. I wrote ovulation question mark and like all this stuff. I was like, I think that she's doing the thing. And I felt her and she felt real tight. And I was like, oh, yes, this is all good things. And then, nope, it was just poop.
It's just then bad things happened.
Yeah. So I'm honestly a little bit bummed about that because I think that's one of like the first things that I've paired since I moved down here that didn't go. But
well, according to Limey, that's a newbie mistake.
It absolutely is. Yeah. It's okay, Limey. You know what I'm having the toughest time sexing is these baby corn snakes, man. I can't freaking.
Oh, come on, dude. What?
I'm so worried I'm going to break their tail in half. I got the probe kits and I'm like, okay. Oh my God. The probes are so tiny. Your tails are so tiny. What the?
Oh, dude. I'll come by. We'll have a corn snake sexing party.
I was just saying, you're doing that Raleigh show. So I'm just going to bring them to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Limey says he can't see to sex corns these days. Oh, gosh.
He's got to get his magnifying glasses out. He, like, flips them down. Yes. It's a whole headset.
We'll get you little jeweler's glasses, Limey. It'll be okay. The crested gecko sexing loop.
Yeah, the little
magnifying sexy loop. It's a monocle. He like flips down. It just says Pangea on it.
Bro.
Oh, man. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Oh, gosh. But heck yeah, dude. It sounds like a super exciting season overall.
Yeah, and then I think I don't know if I'm gonna put the corn snakes together. It's still kind of on the fence for me whether or not I want to breed the corn snakes again. I think I do. I've enjoyed raising these little babies. I haven't sold any though. I just been holding on to them. I've just been enjoying growing them because they just like they keep shedding and they keep getting more and more colorful. And I'm like, oh man, you look so cool. Like it's one thing to see a baby corn snake when it's like you know fresh out of the egg and it's this little tiny shoelace, but like
right
as these things because they're so tan and brown and poopy colored when they're babies, and then all of them have been getting more orange and more red, and I'm like, oh my God, these things are really freaking cool.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
So I think I might pair them again just cause, and why not?
Yeah, you have the annual raising of the corns.
My thing is that I have to set them up in like airtight containers because I tried putting them in a rack and they like got out immediately. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Like while I'm sitting there putting them away, they're getting out. I was like, okay, yes. Never mind.
I always like, there's a few people that I follow on Facebook that are like hardcore colubrid breeders and they've all got their baby wall is just a shelving unit or a bookshelf, and it's just got those little Rubbermaid sandwich containers.
Yeah,
they've just poked holes and they've just like stacked them up, and I'm just like, oh my God! But you know, then you like see a baby colubrid, a baby corn snake, or something like that, and you're like, no, you know what? That makes sense. That
yes,
that actually does make sense.
Hmm. Yeah, I it's been an experience. I've enjoyed it so far. I got one corn snake that is just a little monster and it just like stands up and rattles its tail like and like strikes and bites and stuff. And I'm like, what are you? That's you're awesome. A corn snake. What are you doing?
That's awesome. I don't care.
Yeah, for real. It does not care at all.
That's awesome.
It's very concerning.
Yeah, that's the one you have to set up and put in a display cage.
Yeah,
like, this is a corn snake. This is what they would do in the wild. Yes, it absolutely is, Eric. It is you I'm talking about with your wall of sandwich containers for your baby corn snakes. It gives me anxiety, but I totally understand it.
It makes sense.
It does 100%. I do not. I do not wish any ill will towards your corn snakes as far as escaping. So if Rubbermaid sandwich containers are where it is, then that's where it is, man.
You know what I've been seeing recently is, do you follow Silent Hill Reptiles?
I think so.
I think they do mostly corn snakes, and they've got some really crazy looking corn snakes, like stuff that I'm like, how did you get it to look like that? They have one that looks like a gray banded king snake. I'm like, how did you make a corn snake look like a gray banded king snake? I don't understand.
That's super cool.
They got one that looks like a Azanthic blonde subauk, and it looks just like a Trans-Pecos, dude. It's really cool.
Maybe I don't follow them then, because I would remember shit like that. Dude, I'm pulling up my phone.
It's cool. It's cool. I'll see if I can find one to send
Silent
you
Hill
to.
Reptiles. Oh, it's like a Miami face that just is insane, dude.
Yeah.
It does look like a gray band. Holy crap. No, I don't. I actually don't follow them. Well, I follow them right now. Absolutely.
I've shared them on my story a couple times because I see some of these corn snakes and I'm like, wow, that is, I have not seen a corn snake that looks like that before.
That is nuts. Yeah. Whoa. That's cool. That's really freaking cool, man. I think, you know what? I think overall corn snakes have, I don't want to say they've been forgotten about because there's certainly a large number of people that still work with them, but I feel like they've certainly not been as deep in the spotlight as they maybe were like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like they had a lot more of the spotlight on them.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a shame because there's so many cool things going on in corn snakes. Like, there was no palmettos back then. What is going? How can we have palmettos and have less spotlight on corn snakes?
No, legit. But you know what else I find interesting too, and like I certainly see it with ball pythons, but I feel like some projects, they like people put a couple things into them, and either like lost the desire to move it forward. Like maybe they just weren't excited with what they were seeing, or just kind of like, we're like, no, I really like this. I just want to make more of these. And the progression of some of those projects, I feel like it's halted. Like if I show somebody like my scaleless caramel corn snake, they're like, whoa, I've never seen a scaleless that looks like that. And I'm like, yeah, cause the caramel gene, like nobody really is throwing it into stuff like that. They're making the Azanthics or the Anneries, and they're making the Amels, which is cool. But also it's like, have you seen a scaleless butter? Like it's neon yellow. It's kind of cool. Like, but I know you don't like the scaleless stuff, Rob. But even with palmetto though, like people made Amels, they made Anneries. And, you know, a couple people made like caramels and stuff. I know, like we had a caramel palmetto at Nerd.
Yep.
But like the butter palmetto, like, dude, the scales are, those spots are neon yellow.
Really?
On a white base. Dude, it's nuts, man.
I don't think I've seen one of those yet.
It's nuts. And I'm like that for me, those were the two projects that kept my attention the most with the corns was the palmetto and the scaleless stuff. So like that's where most of my projects kind of lie. But to like seeing some of that stuff, I'm like, wow, we haven't really done all that. And you know what's crazy is like guys in Europe are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, how are the Europeans beating us at our own domestic snakes?
Dude, so look at the rattlesnakes. Europeans are killing it when it comes to breeding U.S. rattlesnakes.
Yes. Yep, it's true, dude. It's freaking true. Dude, some of the nicest pied blood red corns are in Europe. They're in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's just like, man, you know, like it's crazy, man. Like those things live here. How are we failing them? Like,
yeah. For real.
It's for real. But
I guess it just gets overlooked because it is here, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%, man. I mean, think about all the times that like you've spoken to or heard stories from herpers from across the pond, either in like Europe, the UK, or even Australia. And you get those guys that are like, man, I'm coming to the US. I want to see a rattlesnake. Because they've got all the things we think are cool, the cobras, the pit, all these other pit vipers and everything. And they're like, yeah, I saw one of those yesterday. I want to see a rattlesnake, man.
Like, I really want to see a black rat snake. You're like, oh my God.
Right. And you're just like, oh God, oh, really? Like
that's the thing.
There's one over there, man. Like, just turn around. There's
go six. To any chicken coop everywhere. They're all over the fucking place.
Exactly. Exactly. Guess what? We got six different names for that thing, but it's all the same snake. It's just because they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You need to highlight Limey's comment.
Send me pics of those or the one after that?
The one after that.
The lie? The straight up lie? So your accent lets you get away with saying a few other things, Limey. It doesn't make you superior. Oh gosh. Too freaking funny, man.
Yeah, dude.
Too freaking funny.
So that's kind of where I'm at. Like I said, I think I'm pretty sure Janet's gonna go. She should lay here in the next few weeks or so. I've been like off my everything got thrown off because I think she cycled really early this year, like a month and a half early. And so I was like, oh, she's just going through a shed cycle. I wasn't really thinking about it. And then now she's starting to get dark. And I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, what was that? When did she
show? Oh, God.
Just being dumb, man. I was paying attention to all the other things that are going on. I'm trying to get out there and do a little bit of herping and do all this stuff. And I missed it.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll be coming here in the not so distant future. I got to get that egg box set up and all that jazz. And yeah.
Hell yeah,
I think that's kind of where I'm at for this year. I didn't breed carpets. I didn't breed ball pythons. I didn't breed bloods. I might throw the corn stakes together. The clutch that I produced last year, I threw the male in with the female for 10 minutes while I was cleaning.
I remember it, yeah.
And separated them, and I did not put them back together again, and that's what got that clutch.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Matt wants to know when we're coming to Florida.
Dude, Daytona.
I'll be there Daytona for sure. Yeah. Mark and I were just talking about maybe taking a weekend jaunt down to Florida in June because we actually both have a weekend off. So Rob, if you'd like to maybe join us on an excursion.
as long as it's not the same weekend that Kristen is getting tattooed, she's going to a tattoo convention to try and finish up her leg with her tattoo artist.
Do you remember when that is?
Oh, no. It's in my calendar, though.
Okay. Yeah, I think we were looking at, I think it was like June 22nd.
I don't think it's that. I think it's like the 12th or 14th or something.
Oh, hell yeah. Then perfect. So I think we might do that because we've been wanting to just get away for a little bit, and he was like, I kind of want to go visit some of your friends and like see some reptile stuff and do some reptile stuff. And I was like, wait, what?
So Iguana Land?
I was thinking almost like repeat of the last journey. So
do the whole,
yeah, exactly, the Gator Land, the Iguana Land, the whole hang. I think it could be fun.
That would be tight, man.
Yeah.
Do Iguana Land one day, Gatorland the next day. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a quick little, like three, maybe 4 day just jaunt, you know, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of deal.
Yeah.
And see, you know, who knows? What can we do?
What kind of trouble can we get into?
Oh, we can get in trouble.
Yeah. I was just going to say it is Florida. So
It is Florida. It is Florida. And we both have a high disdain towards FWC. We can get in some trouble.
For real.
Oh, all right. All right, Matt. Matt says I can get you guys a discount at Disney hotels. Oh,
I don't know if I want to be that close to like a lot of children. Like, do you have any hotels that have a little bit more quiet? Like,
woo. like humans that scream. I don't want any part of that.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, I am all set.
Brian Stewart, what's up, man?
Hey, what's good, man?
Oh gosh. But hell yeah, dude. But yeah, so I'll let you know what thoughts are on that. I was gonna try to reach out to Savannah and a couple of folks and see around that time if it's something that we can make happen. So
hell yeah.
Ooh.
that would be pretty tight. And I'm in the process of coordinating the next couple meetings for the Carolina Herp Society. I want to do a herping trip for probably the next one towards the end of this month.
Yep.
And then after that, I want to do the Greensboro Science Center.
Yes.
They have Komodos.
Yes.
So I think that's going to be that. And then after that, I think we are going to try to do the, I can't think of it, Pine Knolls Aquarium out in, out towards Emerald Isle.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure Frederick Boyce works there. And he was like, hey, next time you're out here, let me know. And so maybe we can get a little behind the scenes sneak peek or something like that. And I'll try and get all that stuff. I have a notebook that's got the list of all the reptile expos in this area for the next 4 months. So yep. I will, I'll have to sit down this weekend and spend a little bit of time just coordinating when we'll do each of those trips. And
I'll save you the time, Rob. There's one every weekend, and some weekends there's two.
Yeah. Basically.
Welcome to the Southeast.
Yeah. If you're willing to drive a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the herping trip, we're going to try and do Uwahari. There are timber spottings out there. There's a good variety of other species of snakes, lots of lizards, and looking at some of the aerial footage, it looks like it's got lots of habitat. We did a little jaunt in there on New Year's Day or the second day of 2023. And we found a big black rat snake.
Hell yeah.
January 2nd. You remember that shit?
I do. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I'm thinking that if we
find
go
herbs every month. Every
yes.
Month.
Oh, I've already got my April snakes. So,
of course you do.
Dude, if March kept me a little bit longer. I'm just saying. I didn't find stuff until like a little bit past halfway through the month.
Yeah, we also had like just really bizarre weather for the last probably like month or so. Like we get some few great warm days and then it's like right back down to the colder weather.
Yeah,
all over the place. So I think the animals are just as confused as we are frustrated.
Yes, for real. And I'm starting to see a bunch of the fossorial stuff out. And so I'm hoping that means that the other, and also I've seen copperheads coming out of their dens that are near me. So I'm hoping that that's a sign that we're moving out of the cold and we'll start actually seeing, more snakes out there. I noticed those.
It was the dab for me, bro. It was classic. Freaking classic. Wow. Oh, hit them with the U.
Those are the only two dances I know, so that's you got me.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
We got Tim in the house. We got Alex in the house. Hey, what's up, people? Hey. We got James in the house.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, James, I will try and get you dates on stuff soon too, so that we can make sure that everybody's got time to take time off if they need to or do whatever they got to do, because I think the herping trip will be a lot of fun. All the herping trips we've done have been a good time. Although I think the last Lake Norman trip, we didn't really find a whole lot, did we?
No, it was kind of a bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, except for you, cause I think you're probably, although I know it's not true, but on social media, it appears every time you're out, you find something.
No,
but I also know that that's not real, but yeah. it's you're bound to get skunked quite a bit more than you are actually finding things.
Yeah. It definitely helps to know where to look, because there's been times where I've like this, the place that Kristen and I went a week or two ago that had the copperheads and the black racer and everything. Mm-hmm. We went there before and we did not see a single living thing. Like we didn't see like anything. And we spent probably 2 or 3 hours out there just looking around and we did not see shit. And then this time we went out there, we found a worm snake right off the bat, and then two copperheads underneath some debris, and then black racer just chilling out in the open. And, you know, we saw a good variety of things.
Hell yeah.
And it was literally the same exact spot. So, you know, it was just like, I was looking in the wrong areas at that spot. So
yeah,
it just takes finding those little things here and there. So
that's true. Just because it's outside doesn't mean they're going to be everywhere.
Yes, that's true.
They are going to have their spot that they just prefer. But hell yeah, dude. That's super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it, man.
So what's your season look like? What are you pairing up?
This has been a crazy year. So I've got a little bit of everything kind of all over the map going. Obviously, Amazon stuff is going. Very excited. Got 3 or 4 girls that are cycling now. They've been getting paired up for a while. Most of them have had at least one lock. I've been keeping the males in there for a slightly longer period of time, especially because I'm not there every day now. I'm there every other day. So I'm just kind of giving them some extended time. Like Carnage was cuddling up with his female the other day. So I'm super happy about that, because they like hated each other. The first couple of introductions, they were just opposite ends of the cage, wanted nothing to do with each other. So now they're cuddling up, and I'm like, okay, all right, now we're getting somewhere. At least you guys can tolerate each other. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So hoping I've got a pair of leopards going.
Ooh.
Yeah, very excited about that. That calico male Zorro is breeding to... I guess she would be considered a bicolor. This animal named Bloody Mary, that's one of Ryan Martinez's girls. Mm. I palpated her yesterday. She had 14 follicles that I could feel. And I was like, oh, it's going down. I'm stoked. So, of course, don't know if all of those will be viable offspring, but I was like, That's going to be a big lit. And she is a mammoth female, dude. Like, holy crap. Like, she's the only female Amazon. I've got some big female Amazons. She's the only one that will, like, confidently take a small rat and it won't leave a lump in her.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's like, a big Amazon. She's a monster, dude. And I'm like, here's your small rat for the month. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want, like, you take that. I've got Carnage going to another tiger female, the sister of the girl that went last year.
Damn.
Yeah. So fingers crossed for that. And she's notably larger than the girl that went last year. So I'm hoping for maybe like 8 babies out of that would be spectacular. And what's the last one? Oh, I just have a really nice pair of bicolors going. They're technically not true bicolor because there are some black specks on them, but they're both like, I could probably count on 2 hands the number of speckles on each one of them. So they're very, very clean. But they're also darker bicolors. They're like, the base color is more like copper orange and then red. So they're really, really interesting. But I'm excited about that. They've also been cuddled up for a while too. So I saw one lock on the very first time I introduced them. And I haven't seen another since, but again, they've been all cuddled up and cozy together. So I'm like, that's all I need to see. As long as you are not hating each other, I'm okay with it.
Hell yeah.
So that's exciting. I did breed that ocelot Borneo you had mentioned before to my striped ultra, but she didn't take this year, and I was kind of bummed about that, but no big deal. I didn't breed any carpets this year because I've been more focused on downsizing. So I didn't do any Morelia this year. And then I've probably got like maybe 6 or 7 clutches of ball pythons coming this year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully should have some DG clown stuff. That'll be that's the first clutch that should be getting laid. Actually, she's due April 25th is when she's due to lay. So that was Spinner Blast, Lucifer, ODYB, Clown, Het DG.
Damn.
To a Pastel DG Het Clown. So could be some cool things.
Oh, there's going to be some cool shit in there, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited. So, and it's, of course, it's always nice with recessive stuff to have the opposite of each on either side. So whatever isn't
everything's visual guaranteed is 100% hit.
Yeah, exactly. So happy about that. I should have some, of course, Limey faders and everything. I should have some double head these. So I'm excited about a handful of pairings for the ball pythons. That's one of them. But I should have a clutch of double head ultra glows, which will be cool. So I bred Ultramel Hypo.
Oh.
Yeah, so I bred a Hinji Woma Enchi Ultramel to a Mojave Hypo. So just make some cool double heads. And then I should have a clutch of triple het True Ghost clowns. So Hypo, Ooh, and the clowns. Yeah, that's, buddy.
That's so cool.
Yeah, there was. So there's a great thing and a bad thing all in tandem with that. So I had my Azanthic clown. And I paired him to Hinji Woma Hypo. That's the girl that's going. And I also paired him to a Hypo Chocolate Pin. And she was going and then just decided to reabsorb. And I was like, no! So won't get her this year, but I'm like, ah, it's okay. So at least one clutch of Triple Het True Ghost Clowns. and then the other couple of pairings I did were just like kind of, some kind of random... just make some cool things or things that I think would be cool. So I did like a Black Pewter Batman. So Black Pewter Leopard Spotnose Clown to Hidden G Woma Enchi Yellow Belly Fader, maybe Odium thing that I produced a few years ago. And then just some other Hidden G Woma Lucifer Enchi Fader Yellow Belly Coral Glow nonsensical things that I was just like, that jeans just to do something. So whatever, but we'll make some interesting things.
Just gotta write cool on it.
Cool. Yes, exactly. Cool plus plus plus. That's mm-hmm. That's it. I'll call you to help me ID. So
that's all I'm gonna do. So
dude, do you remember that year that I asked, I think it was the first year of ball python breeding when I was there, when I had asked Kevin that one for one ID assistance, mm-hmm. and he was like, oh, it's a Hidden G Woma Pastel Yellow Belly, blah, 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 blah. And I put that
on the tag.
On the tag, and he was like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, it's what you said.
That's what you said it was.
That's what you said it was. I followed the leader. Annoying, isn't it? Oh, man. But I'll have a couple of colubrid clutches as well. We'll have some corn snake stuff, some het scalus and het palmetto things. Have some Mexican black kings coming. That's super cool. Yep. I didn't even brewmate them, dude. I just have them there on the bottom of the rack, and both the females were like cool seeking for like days. And I was like, this is weird, man. Like, you guys are usually always in the back. So I like pulled them out, palpated them, jacked with follicles through the mail in there, wasted no time.
Mm-hmm.
So I should have at least one clutch. The other girl, there were two locks, but I just am not feeling follicular develop, like continued growth. So we'll see, but I'll have at least one clutch. Female's going into her prelay shed now. So at least one clutch of MBKs, which will be cool. And then outside of that, it has been a leopard gecko year, dude.
Hell yeah.
Mark and I dove into the leopard gecko project, and I think we've got 13 clutches on the ground right now. Yeah. And here's the best part. I don't know if Matt is still here, but so I had 9 girls that I paired this year, 9 or 10 girls that I paired this year, and only like, and I will say like I half-assed pairing stuff because I was like, I didn't want to make a bunch of babies, but obviously wanted to produce a couple of nice things, you know, and just didn't want to be inundated, at least not this year. So rookie number, there he is, rookie numbers. Says the guy that's on par to produce about 2,000 baby leopard geckos this year. Freaking psycho. I love you, bro. But yeah, I think it's 13 clutches, and we're kind of rounding out. Like I didn't throw males back in with females or anything like that. I was like, let's just get Mark's feet wet. Let's produce a few things, maybe produce a couple of holdbacks, but some cool stuff, like white and yellow Joker to Joker stuff, red diamond to tangerine, bold stripe Tremper stuff, like be some really cool, I'd say mid-range to high-end leopard geckos. So, yeah, so I'm excited. And then you've got Matt, 300 plus on the ground, and about 700 eggs pulled so far, and females are still going. So what you're witnessing, folks, is a psychopath. No, shout out to Matt at Sassabek. Dude, some of the coolest freaking leopard geckos, and people have asked me. So I got the majority of this group from Nick Bettini at Cold Blooded Earth because he was reducing his stuff after having his new baby, and I got a couple of animals from Jeff at JMG, and the rest of them came from Matt. And I was like, I wanted to have enough stuff from a few different collections. Most of the stuff from Nick came from John Scarborough, so I wanted to have just a handful of different things to play around with. And of course, as I've mentioned before in the podcast, that became like 50 leopard geckos. But it's cool. So a lot of the stuff that we were raising up just to see what sexes were going to be ended up being surplus females. So I'll have some now bigger, like 30 to 50 gram leopard geckos available, which is cool for anybody that wants to get into leopard geckos or just wants a pet and they don't want to worry about raising up a tiny baby. But all really, really cool things. So I'm excited, Matt. Going to try them outside soon. Florida herper life, man. but yeah, so it'll be cool. I'm excited to see Limey. If you need leopard geckos, I got you. I will send you leopard geckos, bro. But yeah, so I'm excited. It the leopard geckos certainly bring some nostalgia back into keeping and breeding reptiles for me. So that's always exciting. Yeah,
I think leopard geckos were one of the first things that I bred.
Yeah, same. So it'll be cool, and that's about it. So pretty diverse season, a little all over the map. It's weird to have a year where I'm not producing Morelia.
Yeah,
that's really bizarre. But I've just been so focused on downsizing to make more space for the Amazons. I've been like, usually I'll food cycle the Morelia, and this year I was just like, hey, I'm just going to feed you. If I see you kind of go in that direction, I'll pair you up, but nothing went in that direction. So I was just like, all right, cool. We're just going to feed you, and that's pretty much going to be it for this season. So, and I'm still downsizing on some of that just to be able to move racks and things. So yeah, it's a crazy year. It's crazy to have so much older inventory, you know, since I'm moving so many adults. Like that's a different thing. I realize how much more expensive shipping boxes are when you need 16 16 eights and and giant snake bags and the occasional coffin box, and you know.
Yeah,
like I had when I first had made a post about like moving out some blood pythons and stuff, I had some people reach out to me and they were like, you know, I'm interested in all of them. And I was like, well, you know, that's cool. Where are you located? Because shipping is going to cost you the same as another snake.
Yeah. Unless you do it. Oh, I don't know if you can do it freight.
I think you could, but I don't know what the difference in the price would actually end up being.
I got a 500 pound pallet of cages for $300.
Oh, well, maybe it would be not bad, but, but yeah, I had one person, I think they were in, like Utah, I think it was.
Meet in the middle, baby.
Yeah, it was like interested in like four of the five, I think, that I had. I was like, yeah, shipping's going to be like $285. Like, yep. And they're like, oh God, no, I can't afford to do that. And I was like, I get it, man. I did warn you, you know, these are slugs, like giant reptilian slugs. They're not going to be cheap to ship almost all the way across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. So it's going to be an interesting year. It's going to be a fun year. I'm excited for the possibilities of things. I'm hoping. So there's a part of me that's like, as I continue to downsize, the one rack that is the constant, yeah, I can get rid of this, or like, no, I can't get rid of that, has been the short tails.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm like, I need the space, but I'm also like, man, some of the stuff I haven't bred yet. I want to see what I can make. And the diversity of potential phenotypes, I'm just like, I don't want to get rid of that.
Yep.
I really don't want to get rid of that. So I'm going back and forth. I'm just honestly just happy that it's just a single stack FB90 rack.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take up that much space. So I'm like, if I kept it.
Come on.
And yeah, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It'll be okay.
How many more Amazon enclosures is it really?
Yeah, but to the point, it would really only be about 1 1/3 of a rack.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, it's not that much space in the grand scheme of things.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you know, then here comes Mark. That's, I can feel the look through the walls of the apartment. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm certainly focused, certainly more focused on moving some other things first. And a lot of and a lot of it also has to do with, you know, which you certainly well know, you know, these big blood and short tail pythons, like, again, they're not easy to ship. And they don't tolerate that kind of movement very well, especially when they're big adults, you know, 20, 30 pound snakes. They're not really loving it. And I think that's the one thing where I'm like, you know, if it really came down to it, if I needed to move them, I would move them. But I would also be more concerned shipping those animals than I think I've ever been concerned about shipping any other animals in the past. Specifically because of what they would end up going through. And I'm just like, so in an ideal, perfect situation, if I was going to move them, I would rather them go somewhere locally where it's like, I can bag them up, throw the rack in a truck, bring it to wherever it's got to go. And yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, if it happens / when it happens, I'm the if, Mark is the win. Also, though, I think if he witnessed, because all he sees with the Borneos is just giant fat snake that like will launch itself at you and levitate. That ocelot still does that. But he hasn't seen like a pairing. And then all of the offspring, and you're just sitting there scratching your head like, how did that make that? And I think if he sees that, he'll be like, all right, maybe don't get rid of those just yet.
I'll send you pictures.
Yeah, perfect.
When my babies start hatching, hell yeah.
Oh, man. But heck yeah, dude. So it should be a fun season, man, across the board. I'm excited. I'm super excited.
Don't listen to them. They're talking about debauchery, okay?
I'm looking at it. I'm going to see if he comes through the door. Limey, the podcast would be so much fun if you just showed up. Like,
I would love Limey to be on the podcast.
Like, dude, put a bag over your head for fuck's sake. Nobody needs to know that it's you. I have one picture. And all the years I've known Limey, I only have one picture of Limey. And I don't even think he knows about it. And if I try to find it, it would take me forever because it's been buried. I've taken way too many pictures of animals and stuff. But yeah, Limey needs to be on the podcast. As much shit as he gives. If I can get Ozzy on the podcast, would Limey come on the podcast? I think so. He likes Ozzy. Ozzy and him are tight. Oh gosh. But hell yeah, dude. Raleigh on the couch. You put a bag over my head. I might have done that. I don't recall.
How much did you have to drink, Limey?
Limey didn't have any. It was me.
Also true.
Oh gosh. I feel like that's like one of the worst parts about, like, so I'm not at as many reptile shows now because I have this corporate band gig. So we gig pretty much every weekend, every Saturday. So I don't really book reptile shows like that. At least not really in the last like year and a half. So when I finally do get to a reptile show, it's debauchery, like from start to finish, because I haven't been there in months. So everybody wants to hang. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm here for it. And in tandem with that is, here, let me buy you another drink.
And then
I inevitably wake up Sunday and like, I don't remember half a Saturday, but I bet it was great.
Oh, no. It's Daytona all over again.
It's Daytona. Yeah, but you know what, Rob? I've never been drunk enough to match your sobriety and go swimming with sharks that you don't even know are there. Yeah, buddy. Are those coming to Daytona?
Yeah, they got a 6-inch inseam, so.
Just six?
Party. They had a 4-inch option, and I was like, I think it's a little too much thigh for me. So,
oh gosh, that's funny.
I gotta remember to wear those to Gatorland.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely, yes, yes, yes. Savannah would love you. Did you see? This can be the last thing before we wrap it up, but did you see? The Gatorland reel the other day where Savannah lost her hat in one of the gator ponds.
No, I didn't see that one.
One of the bigger crocs like got her hat and like had it.
Took it.
Yeah, but she got it back. They went fishing, like literally like fishing poles and got the hat back. And I was like, hell yeah.
That's awesome.
That's find it again, I'll send it to you. Cause I was like, she was with Danny and she was like, Danny, what just happened? It's like, well, your hat is over there. And you just see Croc just come and grab hat, go under. I'm like, oh,
dang old gator food now. That's what you get.
Oh gosh. Too fun, dude. Too freaking fun. Right.
All right, Jeremy, what is the thing that you've seen that's got you excited about reptiles right now?
Scaleless corn snakes. No, just for that face. If you're listening on the audio only, you need to come to this marker and check out Rob's face right now. No, honestly, what has me excited this year, actually, it's kind of this leopard gecko project. I'm excited to just be kind of diving back into something that is bringing some nostalgia back with some higher end animals. So I'm excited to see what comes out, because while I have some general ideas. We never know what they're actually going to look like until they're out. So that'll be fun and exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to be able to see Mark's face with it too, because he's witnessed, obviously, getting the adults. They've been bred. They've laid eggs. We've got the incubator here. So, and I think we're only 2.5 weeks away from the first hatchlings coming out. So,
oh damn, it's about to go down.
It's about to go down, man. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that's tight.
Hell yeah, dude. What about you? Right, dude. I want to like find a spot to put like a little GoPro camera, like when I open up the incubator, specifically to get his reaction.
You really should. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
There's nothing like seeing your first babies hatching out.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Heck yeah. But what about you, man? What have you seen?
I've got a few things. First things first, Parker produced Varanus Bomai.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time those have ever been produced in captivity. That is phenomenal. For the people who are listening who might not know, it's a type of tree monitor and extremely rare. Just like most of you are never going to see one in your life. I'll just leave it there.
Right.
And he was able to reproduce them. Big shout to Parker, man. That's so freaking cool. In that same vein, Corey Martin produced those black tree monitors.
Yes. Absolutely.
I love Black Tree Monitor, so I was hyped to see that she got some beautiful, healthy babies from that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Stephen Cush is killing it on the scrub pythons.
Indeed, he is.
I was on his podcast the other day, Cush's Corner, over on the Trap Talk Network. And that was a good time. Now, whenever people are like, hey, I want to talk to you about scrub pythons, I'm going to send them that episode because we talked for 3 hours. And I'll be like, I talked about getting Janet. I talked about my ideals of like how I think about keeping scrub pythons. I talk about all the different things. Go listen to this first and then we can talk.
So you're going to pull a Kevin. Go watch my videos.
No. Just one video. It's 3 hours long, but it's just one video.
It's good. It's perfect. It's exactly what you need.
So, and going back and forth and talking to Steven a bunch recently about like different scrub pairings and seeing some of the stuff that he's got in the pipeline. I'm just like so jazzed about that. Steven is like, he is on par to be the best scrub breeder ever. And so
hell yeah.
That's really exciting for me because I just love, and he's got 100 scrubs. Like that's way more than I ever want to have. So I'm excited to see where things go with that. And so really, really hyped to see the things that he's doing. And then it was a pleasure to be on the podcast with him and get to just talk for a while. So I think, and then if Janet lays, that'll be my other thing. These babies are eaten and pretty much, all, you know, not ready to go, but they're getting towards there and waiting on eggs of my own stuff. I got a lot of things going on right now.
The chaos never ends, dude.
The chaos does not ever end. And then trying to coordinate these herbs. I'm looking forward to the next Herb Society meeting so that we can all hang out again.
Hell yeah.
I had a blast at Venom Central. It was such a awesome time. And we got to talk about that on one of these episodes.
That was
a really good time. If you guys haven't checked them out yet, check out Venom Central. Willie was very hospitable to us. He showed us some really cool stuff. And he pointed us out towards a little herping spot. We got James's lifer, Copperhead. He was the one who found it. I was like, let's go. Hung out with Josh a little bit. So yeah, it was a really good time. Cody was there. So that was all good things, And so I'm looking forward to the next Herb Society meeting too.
Hell yeah, dude.
So many things.
I'm here for it all though.
Yes. So Jeremy, if people want to follow you and see the things that you're doing and where you're posting stuff, where should they go?
Everything goes on Instagram these days. So check out Instagram at Brassman Reptiles. You can follow me on Facebook as well. Same thing at Brassman Reptiles. If you're interested in anything that I might have available, go check out my website, brassmanreptiles.com. And that's pretty much it. Don't look for me anywhere else because I'm not good at posting anywhere else. So
Instagram is just the best platform currently because it's mostly just snake pictures. So
yeah,
I can
exactly.
I can roll with that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But where can folks find out about your next clutches, Rob?
Oh, I'm gonna be posting that stuff on Instagram. And honestly, what I should do is do what I did for the 2022 pairings and post a picture of the male and the female, and then I'll post pictures of the babies. I'll put it on my highlights so that people can reference it when they want to. Oh, yeah. Or if they got a baby from that. I've had a couple of people who bought babies from me last year or the year before, and they've been sending me pictures, like some of the Arian Jaya Jag babies. Oh my goodness, yeah. Bro.
They're looking good.
Yeah, they're popping off, let me tell you.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
So, that's tight. So yeah, just check me out on Instagram, Rob Screaming Real. I'm on TikTok too, Rob Screaming Real. I have been doing live streams periodically where I just talk about scrub handling and while I'm going through and cleaning and mechanics and all this different stuff. So if you follow me on Instagram, usually I do it on there just because it's usually people I know, as opposed to doing it on TikTok where it's a bazillion people going, is it venomous? Is it poisonous? What is that snake? And answering that question 500,000 times. You get more people. Yeah, you get more people on TikTok, but it's people who don't really know what's going on. So
right.
Sometimes I'm in the mood for that. Most of the time I'm just in the mood for hanging out and talking with people that I know. So the other day I did an hour-long live stream where I just talked about scrubs and handling them and all that stuff. And so yeah, follow me on Instagram. That's where it's at. Don't add me on Facebook. And we'll catch you guys next time. Make sure that you check out Black Box Cages.
Yes, do it.
Check them out. They got these. I can't overstate how incredible these enclosures are. You need to get some. Get some racks. Get some cages. You will not regret it, I promise.
Absolutely. Heck yeah, guys. Well, that wraps this one up. We will see you on the next one. See y'all.
Au revoir.